Welcome back to the Starting Lineup Podcast. It's been 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Since we've released an episode with me working almost all the time, having a hard time finding a good time to do the podcast. I'm out of town Thursday through Saturday, so let's do a Wednesday edition.
Why not? It's been a while since we did Wednesday. How long has it been? Have we ever done a Wednesday?
Like back? It was mainly Wednesday.
Yeah, when Kellen and Tyler were here.
Mm-hmm. This is your host, Shep Jones. Across the table is deep-voiced Mitch George.
Yeah, because I'm sick.
You just sound deeper. Yeah. You don't need to justify it.
I'm not justifying it. I'm giving it a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever. Pretty much the same thing, whatever.
So a lot has happened over the 2 weeks that we have not done a show.
Shep's not done a show. It's all his fault.
Fine, whatever. World Series is upon us. Game one is in the books with the Dodgers hitting a clutch two-run homer off of... that was Keuchel.
Yep. Was that Justin Turner versus mm-hmm. Keuchel?
And then, Turner taking him deep.
And then Taylor hit the leadoff home run on the right. First pitch of the game against
him. No, it wasn't first pitch.
Whatever.
0-2 count.
Whatever.
Watch the game.
I thought...
It was a leadoff homer. It was not first pitch.
Okay. I'm messed up then. I'm sorry.
It's that sickness.
Yeah, I know. Not right in the head.
Game two tonight, Justin Verlander, Rich Hill. Didn't I say the Dodgers were going to win that series against the Cubs and the Astros would beat the Yankees?
I think those
were my correct predictions. I think you had the same, too.
I know you had the Indians going to the World Series, though. I think we both had the Indians going
to the World
Series.
Right, we had the Indians going to the World Series, but as we were doing our predictions round by round, I think we both had Houston and L.A.
Yeah.
They've been the best two teams, two of three teams in baseball this year.
I heard somewhere that it's been a really long time since the two teams that were statistically supposed to be in the World Series have gone there, mm-hmm. because they're the best two teams from each of the leagues.
Right. So looking forward to Game Two tonight. We've got Verlander and Hill Verlander and Hill on the hill.
Yeah.
Who you taking?
I'm going to go ahead and take Houston because, you said this earlier, Justin Verlander, I think, is a better pitcher than Rich Hill. But, I mean, Rich Hill still has the potential to shut him down, too. But I'm going to go with Verlander, and I think that this right-handed, heavy Houston lineup will fare well against Rich Hill.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the same just because more so on Verlander than the right-handed, heavy lineup for the Astros. Verlander, since he got to Houston, has pitched much better than when he was pitching in Detroit. And he's looked really good thus far in the postseason. Rich Hill has looked good, but not as good as Verlander. And I think Verlander can shut that L.A. Dodger offense down and not have any issues with it because he's got the stuff to combat it.
I'm looking at Rich Hill's stats right now, and he actually fares better versus right-handed hitters mm-hmm. than left-handed hitters mm-hmm. too. So that's a little misleading, I guess. So maybe he will have a better night because he held right-handers below 200 batting average at 190,
mm-hmm.
which is really impressive.
And Cubs hitters against Rich Hill kind of got to him a little bit, but Houston batters against Rich Hill. Not many appearances across the board.
Really for both teams against these pitchers.
I mean, Logan Forsythe has the most against Justin Verlander because at one point Forsythe was in the AL and would mm-hmm. pay Verlander often. You've got some decent numbers, but, Josh Reddick, two at-bats, he's 2-for-4 or, however you want to make that up. He's 500 batting average. Cameron Maybin, 400. Brian McCann, 500, and then your key guys, Jose Altuve, 200, Carlos Correa, 0. Great numbers.
But I mean, you got to take that as these are 4 or less batting appearances.
Right.
Appearances.
Jose Altuve has taken Rich Hill deep. So it's a possibility that, Altuve knows what's going to be coming his way and can bring along the rest of the youngins like Bregman and Correa up to speed.
Right.
Looking, because we won't have a show until Monday. Mm-hmm. And by that point, game 5 would be
Yeah, something like that.
Game five would be over, I think.
So we might have a winner next time.
We might have a winner
by... I don't think we will, but...
I don't think we will either. But game six and seven would be Halloween and then post-Halloween.
Spooky.
The 31st and the 1st, right?
Spooky, spooky World Series.
So let's do predictions, because we haven't had the opportunity to do a prediction for the World Series.
Yep.
I'm taking Houston in seven.
Houston, I like that a lot.
I think this entire series will be an all-out brawl.
I mean, with how good these starting staffs are, I can definitely see it going seven. I want to say Houston in six, but I just don't. With Darvish still a start, and with Kershaw most likely going to get another start, whether it be on short rest or not. I'd have trouble ruling the Dodgers out in anything less than seven, especially with how dominant they were in the regular season.
It definitely could go seven depending on the outcome of tonight's game.
Right.
If Houston can take this game, it shifts home field, but I still think Dodgers could take a game at Houston to level it out.
Remember, those 3-1 leads don't matter anymore, though,
right,
so we can't predict anything
well,
these days.
Well, they only matter for the Dodgers because they've had a sweep and then a 4-1 in the NLCS. So,
right.
I think if the Dodgers get on top 2-0, this could be over real fast.
Has the potential to. I mean, Keuchel lost the game last night. I hate wins and losses for pitchers, as you know. He got stuck with the L last night, but he still didn't pitch a terrible game.
I mean,
he was pitching into the sixth inning, I believe.
Seventh inning.
Sixth or seventh, yeah. And then he only gave up 3 runs. That's still a quality start.
And it all came off of home runs. So it's 2 bad pitches he really threw all night. Or I know the one he threw to Chris Taylor, that was kind of a meatball. Kind of centered it up. The Justin Turner home run, that was a pretty good swing.
Yeah.
That was an up-and-in fastball that he turned around and took out.
Somehow he got around on it.
Opposite field. You know, he made it work. I like Houston as a team. I think they finally get their first World Series.
It'd be fitting for them to do it this year with all the flood drama that's been going on.
Be really good for the city of Houston and even for the state of Texas, too. To kind of have that revitalization, you know, get the people something to cheer about.
Right. Going to swing all those kids from Rangers fans, the young, impressionable children. They're going to steal the fan base since the Rangers are seemingly on a downswing right now.
Right. So we'll keep watching. I'll be trying to do my best while I'm in Texas this upcoming weekend to follow as much baseball as I can. I know I will be in the air during the game 4.
You flying Delta?
I think we're doing Southwest.
So you might be able to watch it, you might not.
Maybe. but we have a layover in Dallas, from Austin to Dallas and Dallas to Kansas City. So who knows, might get a little time into see it on the TV while waiting to head back here to the lovely state of Kansas.
Yeah.
We'll switch over. We'll do some NFL before we close up the show. Week 8 now?
No. Yeah. Holy
week
crap.
Week 8, yeah.
Yeah, because the Vikings are 5-2.
Yeah, playing the 0-7. No surprise, Cleveland Browns. That is a 8:30 a.m. game Central Time because they are playing in
England. Oh, same thing.
Same thing. Yeah. I'll give it to you. But we'll backtrack. We'll do the Thursday night game. It is Miami Dolphins with Matt Moore leading the charge.
Jeepers! What are you doing over there?
Good Lord, falling apart. The Matt Moore led Dolphins.
Wonderful, because Jay Cutler's donezo.
Yeah, with a multiple cracked ribs is what I heard.
Yeah. And you know, those bones get brittle in the old age. He's probably got some osteoporosis going on.
Well, I thought from the get-go that the Jay Cutler signing was stupid. I mean, it's, as a minimum, $5 million down the drain for the Dolphins as a guaranteed contract for Cutler, and then you're looking at another $5 million by the end of the year. Whereas Matt Moore kept you in your playoff game last year after taking a shot from Bud Dupree. He missed a snap and came right back in. He's not a bad quarterback.
No.
He won them the game against the Jets last year.
Right, and like you're not trying to go win a Super Bowl this year either, so there's no reason to go sign a free agent. And as you wait for Tannehill to come back, they really didn't need to. Because if you put Jay Cutler and Matt Moore right next to each other, I think you pick Matt Moore, especially with the drop-off that Jay Cutler's seen in these last few years and his age and all that kind of stuff.
Matt Moore and the Dolphins will travel to Joe Flacco's corpse and the Baltimore Ravens. Joe Flacco, what has happened with that guy?
I don't know. He's just not elite anymore.
He won the Super Bowl, and then he had a couple good years, and then nothing. And the running back situation for Baltimore is a mess as it is, but your wide receivers aren't bad either. Rashad Perryman, Mike Wallace. You've got decent tight ends to throw to. One would think that he could throw for over 200 yards in a game, which is not hard to do in NFL these days.
Not really, no.
Unless you're the Chicago Bears and you only have your quarterback throw 7 times in a game.
That's crazy.
That's another thing I'll get to.
How many backs got carries in that game?
Jordan Howard.
Holy cow.
He had 21 carries for 65 yards.
So are they like not on offense at all? Is that kind of how it worked?
Or if it weren't for the 2 Eddie Jackson defensive touchdowns, it would have been a 3-3 game going into overtime.
Nice.
So that's a whole other mess by itself.
I don't know if you saw my tweet about it, but I think going into the fourth quarter or late in the third quarter, the Vikings were beating the Ravens 18-9. And I really wanted that score to stick. It didn't. But if that game would have finished 18-9, that would have been the first ever 18-9 game in NFL history.
Really?
Yeah. So because they're
touchdown and
touchdown without an extra point, and then it was field goal, field goal, field goal. However many field goals you need to get to 18 from there. So there's a touchdown
and
then
4.
Yeah. Touchdown and then 4 field goals.
Yeah.
Kai Forbath got like NFC Offensive Player of the Week for that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, why would you name a kicker Offensive Player of the Week? That's more of a testament to how bad the rest of the league was.
That's
hilarious, though.
Well, and then,
maybe it was a dream.
No, across the board, NFC teams did not fare that well.
Player of the Week.
But still, even on that in that case, there were no shocking games last week where it was like someone was getting blown out.
Right.
The Saints and Packers was kind of an underwhelming game.
Yep.
I mean, one would think that the Saints would roll in there with no Aaron Rodgers and throw all over that defense. And they only scored 21 points or something like that.
Yeah.
But then they get the Bears defense this week, which could be a tragedy waiting to happen. In my opinion, it's either going to be really close or the Saints are going to blow out the Bears. And I say that because either the Bears need to let Trubisky throw the ball more than drop back more than 7 times and only complete 4 passes, and 70 of those passing yards came on one catch to Tariq Cohen.
Yep.
So if you take away that catch, he's 3 for 6 for 30-something yards, which is not ideal. So it's either you need to open up the playbook and let this kid do his job and learn from his mistakes, or you're going to get your butt kicked.
Right, just use it as an experiment because this team isn't trying to win a Super Bowl this year either. So there's no logic in not letting him develop as a quarterback when he has the opportunity to do so.
So I'm going to take Dolphins for Thursday Night Football.
I'll take the Dolphins, too.
I'm going to take Vikings. Easy pick. against the Browns in London.
I got to get up that morning, too, I guess.
You're not going to miss much.
I want to see it.
All right, fine. Derek Carr and the Raiders travel to Tyrod Taylor and the Bills, which I was so frustrated watching the Bills-Bucks game last week because of Bears wide receiver Deontay Thompson. 100 yards.
Gosh.
100 yards in his first game, and then, like, the Bears are like, oh, we'll pull this kid, Tanner Gentry, off the practice squad, and we'll release Deontay Thompson instead of we'll pull this kid off the practice squad and release Josh Bellamy, who can't hold on to a ball for his life. He dropped 3 touchdown passes this year.
Side note, I had Amari Cooper on my fantasy team and I benched him.
I did the same exact thing. Because I have also Adrian Peterson in the league before, 25-ish points.
Yeah.
So I was like, and Cooper hadn't scored more than 10 points since week one. So I was like,
yeah, and it was probably barely over that. He hasn't had one good game yet. Until
right. That. And I was like, oh, well, I'm going to put AP in. And then AP got me 4 points and Amari Cooper, 44.
Holy cow.
I still ended up winning that week, but not by much.
It's crazy.
I'm going to actually take Buffalo against the Raiders.
Interesting pick.
Buffalo
interesting
at home. Pick. That's the kicker. I think Buffalo at home would make the difference.
I'll take Derek Carr.
Right.
I'll take Derek Carr.
Colts and Bengals. Oh, breaking news. Speaking of the Bears and their wide receiver core, Chargers trade wide receiver Dontrell Inman to the Bears for a 7th-round pick.
That's a good deal for you, isn't it?
That's pretty good. Like, you give away a pick that maybe makes a practice squad in the 7th round, and then you get a decent wide receiver in return. That's not too bad.
Someone to catch balls from Trubisky.
Right. Someone who will actually hold on to it instead of Josh Bellamy dropping everything that comes his way.
It's funny that Jacoby Brissett has more passing yards than Andy Dalton this season.
The Bengals are bad. And people expected the Colts to look bad because there was no Andrew Luck. But man, do the Bengals look just so disjointed. Their running back trio of Jeremy Hill, Giovanni Bernard, and Joe Mixon really hasn't worked out. They haven't really given Joe Mixon the opportunity to solidify that job because Joe Mixon can do the same things that Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard can do in one person. But they haven't given him that opportunity to show that talent throughout an entire 4 quarters of football.
Exactly.
I'll take the Colts.
That's intriguing.
I like Jacoby Brissett as a quarterback.
I'm gonna take the Bengals just because of AJ Green. I think AJ Green will tear up the defense a little bit.
I forgot that Malik Hooker's out now for the Colts.
Yeah,
their first round cornerback.
Come over to the dark side.
That might change.
Take the Bengals.
Yeah, I'm going to switch to the Bengals because then Hooker actually had a pretty good year defending number one wide receivers. And now that he's out for the entire year with an ACL, AJ Green could have a day.
Very good day. 200-yard day.
Chargers at Patriots.
See, this is interesting to me.
I also think this is an interesting game.
But I'm still going to take the Patriots.
I'll take the Patriots, but close. I think this could be like a field goal winning game.
Gaskowski.
Philip Rivers is actually looking like a top tier quarterback now.
Yeah, as close as Philip Rivers can get to being a top tier quarterback. He's still tier 3 in my eyes, but
he's high tier 2.
2.5.
He's high tier 2.
He's climbing the ladder.
Good lord. the aforementioned Chicago Bears and new wide receiver Dontrell Inman, traveled to the Superdome. Play the Saints.
Saints. You got to take the Saints. So,
Drew Brees didn't look that great last week.
No, but still, compare the Bears to the Packers. Packers are still better.
Defensively, I think the Bears are better than the Packers.
That's possible.
Offensively, with Aaron Rodgers, by far, Packers are better.
Well, you can't talk about that right now.
Right. It's Brett Hundley. I think pretty even squads at the moment.
I don't know.
I will still take the Saints. I think Drew Brees tears up that secondary. Granted, Kyle Fuller's actually playing like a legitimate quarterback corner this year. Drew Brees will still tear it up.
I think so.
Falcons at Jets.
Falcons. They didn't look very good, but
Jets.
I'm going
because I'm taking Jets because they looked good against the Dolphins last week. And the week before, they looked whatever Josh McCown does after getting settled in after three games, he's pretty good.
Matt Ryan's passing line, 203 attempts. It's pretty even with McCown and Ryan right now. 221 attempts for McCown, 1590 yards for Matt Ryan, mm-hmm. and then 1583, so only 7 yards less with McCown, and McCown's thrown three more touchdowns at 10-7.
Yeah, I think that the Jets defensive line kind of shuts down Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, and then they're having to rely on the pass, and Julio Jones has kind of looked absent.
Absent. Yeah. He's still clearly a number one wide receiver, right. But he still goes up. Was it last week he went up and caught a fade against the Patriots? Mm-hmm. So he's still the guy, but he hasn't been as much of a primary receiver. Mm-hmm. He's been splitting reps just because not reps but catches with because Austin Hooper's emerged as a legitimate tight end, and Mohamed Sanu is still a legitimate wide receiver, and Taylor Gabriel hasn't had that as big of a role as he did last season, but he's still at
still a pretty good slot guy.
Right.
Niners at Falcons. This is easy Falcons.
Yeah.
It's a cakewalk for that Philadelphia defense. Panthers at Bucks.
Panthers and Bucks.
I'm going to take the Bucks.
That's a sneaky pick. Yeah. Because Cam Newton hasn't looked very good the last few weeks.
He has not.
Especially against the Bears. Right. Which is kind of funny.
Well, the one interception was a tip drill, and then you had the fumble. So it's not an against Cam, but...
Right.
Got to make some better throws. No, I'll take the Bucks.
Jonathan Stewart still does not have a rushing touchdown this year.
Correct.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Cam Newton leads the team in rushing touchdowns. It's... I get Cam Newton is a freak athlete.
Yeah.
But when you're primary running back, and I don't want to say number one because Christian McCaffrey's getting touches, but your primary running back doesn't even have a touchdown yet, that's a problem. Your run game is not...
It's predictable.
Not great. So I'll stick with the Bucks.
I think I'll go with that too. I like that pick.
Texans at Seahawks.
Nap game. We only have two nap games this week.
Yeah, only two nap games.
All right, so nap game of the week. So by default, it's the Texans and Seahawks because Cowboys-Redskins is going to be a good game.
Right.
Because nap game is like the bad game that you don't mind missing.
Right.
So
I will take Texans, though. Deshaun Watson looks like a really good quarterback at the moment.
Just because I don't like the Seahawks, I'm going to take the Texans.
Solid.
We have a lot of the same picks this week.
We do. Cowboys at Redskins.
Give me the Skins, man.
Give me the Cowboys.
I'm going to go with the Skins just because I like Kirk Cousins, and I think he'll be able to do some work against the defense.
With Elliott back, I think.
Yeah,
with
back.
The Cowboys.
Really back.
Yeah, well, back for now.
It's impressive that Dak already has 14 passing touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. With Dez Bryant and Jason Witten. That's really the only two big names there for receivers. And Cole Beasley and Terrence Williams are still there, but...
It's funny for how much Dak got criticized last year for being a game manager type of quarterback, and now he's, does that lead the league, 14? It's got to be pretty close if it doesn't.
I don't know.
But if it's not, it's got to be pretty dang close. As we type away on our computers.
Yeah, I'm only getting stats from last week. I need entirety here.
And Ezekiel Elliott really burst out last week. I mean, he's had a few dormant games this season, but last week he busted out of his shell.
So there's one leader at 17.
17.
Who would that be?
He wouldn't happen to be injured right now, would he?
He would not be injured at the moment.
It's not Tom Brady.
Nope. He's in a three-way tie for second.
Dak is?
Nope.
Wait,
Dak
what?
Is at 14. Carson Wentz was 17.
Oh.
And then Brady, Alex Smith, and Deshaun Watson all at 2 with 15. And then Dak, Rodgers, Rivers, Stafford, Cousins, Breeze. Round out your 10.
Some good quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. Sunday night is Steelers at Lions. I'm going to take the Lions. I think the Lions take it at home because I think, yes, it is at home. Yeah, I think as much improved as the Steelers have looked last week, I think the Lions, with a week off, they've had extra time to prepare, so I think it's going to be
I think so. I'm going to go ahead and take the Lions, too, which are really the Vikings' only competition in division now.
Right. Who knows? Those Bears can sneak up there.
Yeah.
Right. Monday night is the Broncos traveling to Kansas City for the Chiefs. Easy pick, Chiefs.
I don't know if that's an easy pick at all. Oh, gosh. I mean, it is.
Broncos have looked bad this year.
It is in Kansas City.
Yep.
I'm going to have to take the Chiefs.
Yep. That'll wrap up the Week 8 slate. And that will actually wrap up the show.
Nice.
Look at that.
All right, so it's going to be a while before we're back on.
Monday,
which is a little longer than we normally have to wait.
Yeah, longer than usual, but we will be here Monday. I'm not working Monday.
Good.
So I will be back in time.
Are you sure? Are you 100%?
Positive. 100%? I'm not scheduled for anything. So I will be here, and we will have a show on Monday, and we'll have a World Series winner at that point. We'll do a little...
Hopefully we won't have a World Series winner by that point.
Week 8 recap and any other fun stuff that comes up over the next 5 days.
Awesome.
We will be back on Monday.
We'll see you.